I'd like to preach, if God would bless this morning, the short message that I had prepared for last week, but I think it's the most appropriate thing that I could speak to you the Sunday before a happy Christmas season. That you and I are to be saying a few less heal me's and a lot more Hosanna, Hosanna. Would you stand and locate in your Bible the book of Luke in the second chapter? And certainly we thank the Lord for the Star of Bethlehem, for the fact that just as God the Father didn't want to hide the birth of His Son, He still doesn't today hide anything about the Lord from you and I who would seek after Him. Sometimes the sign outside the churches will say, wise men still seek Him. And the good news about wise men still seeking Him is that the Lord still desires to be found. You and I are to draw near to Him while He is near. Be shouting out a few more Hosannas as we go along the way. Luke chapter 2, the 10th verse, says, but the angel said to them, the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. You pray with me. Father, we're thankful that you bless us. We ask that you would guide us in what these words will be, that they'll not come from me and my head, from my heart, from good intentions. Good intentions are not enough. Thinking about the present, thinking about the card is not what puts a smile on the face of the recipient. It's following through. So I pray this morning that this would not be born out of good intentions. And not be born out of anything that I've concocted, but it might be inspired by the Holy Spirit and empowered from your throne, that you might bless us, we might see you high and lifted up and join you in what you're already doing. Lord, until this morning we just cry out, Hosanna. You are God above all. You are most high. And so we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace toward us. We ask that you'd bless us in this time and this message. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated. Luke chapter 2 at the 10th verse. Listen again. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Why in the world would they be afraid? I mean, isn't this an everyday occurrence? You mean it's a rare thing for you to be going about your job, doing what you're supposed to be doing, what you're paid to do, just doing the habit of the regular day, and yet an angel of the Lord comes along and shines in brightness and declares to you that the King of God, the King of man, the Son of God has been born. How amazing is that? How amazing is it that not only does God do great things for us, but that He reveals great things to us? And folks, sometimes as He reveals great things to us, you and I are not in a mood to see great things. Sometimes when God shows up and begins to reveal great things, it gets a little bit frightening. I was asked a couple of weeks ago, why in the world would you want to be a pastor? And it was a Monday, and Mondays in the ministry are kind of typical beating your head against the wall kind of days. I don't know that you ever have any of those, but that's a joke somewhat among ministers. And it was a particular Monday, and someone said, why would you want to be a pastor? And without really thinking, you know how sometimes you give an answer that you've not really thought through? Without really thinking, my answer was, because I get a front row seat as a pastor in what God is doing. What do you mean by that, preacher? And I said, I get a front row seat because generally I get to see the problem develop, and I get to hear about it sometimes when the person realizes that a certain thing that shouldn't be happening is happening. And then I get to see when all falls apart. Then I get to keep watching as God shows up and does what only God can do and begins to bless us to not get around the fire, to not get over the fire, but to get through the fire. And so as a pastor, I get a front row seat to step back and see, you know, not what I can do and not necessarily what you can do, but I get to see all the time what God can do. That's a blessed thing. Sometimes for me and you, it can be very frightening. When the doctor comes in with bad news, or when the phone rings and it always seems to be like, here we go again. And it's one of the children or one of the parents or one of the brothers or sisters, one of the folks down at church. It's somebody who, oh, when we hear the voice, we know this is not going to be good. An angel of the Lord has shown up in all majesty to these shepherds, and the first thing that has to be said is, don't be afraid. And you and I, no matter what we face, it's not that we need to like it. It's not that we need to face everything with a smile, but the reality is that you and I in our lives, as we go forward, we need to be careful about being too frightened when God shows up on the scene and wants to do something in our lives. And so the angel of the Lord says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for just a handful, that will be for just your family, that will be for just your country, that'll be for just the race that you're a part of. No, I've got good news that'll bring great joy to all the people." Now, that's only half true, because those people who do not see the coming of God's Son, the going to the cross 33 years later, the second coming of Jesus when He comes to make all things new and all things right, those who don't long for His coming, this is not necessarily great news for them. It is great news that you and I have opportunity. But with opportunity sometimes becomes judgment when we don't react properly. And so the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I've got good news. It's going to bring great joy to all the people." And I believe that even though what I just said is true, I believe that all of us who realize that we are lost and undone in our sins can see the Lord's first coming and His second coming as a wonderful, incredible blessing of good news that brings great joy. Now look at verse number 11. Today, and I want to tell you that today is the day of salvation. The Bible teaches that we are to harden not our heart, to not be troubled, but to believe upon the Lord and what He has to reveal to us, even today. And so I appreciate the angel who doesn't come necessarily before the blessing, or doesn't come necessarily to the shepherds after the blessing, but he comes on the day of the blessing and says, "Today, in the town of David..." Zach, if you would, and I know you can probably hear this a little differently than I hear it down here, but throw me into the middle so I won't be as sharp. That way if I get really excited and really just, woo, here in a minute, it won't sound like that alarm clock 2 hours ago. Used to be when I worked at the veterinarian's wife. Let me start this again. When I worked in the veterinarian's office, the veterinarian's wife was a very, very country lady. And she would say, "Good morning," every time you saw her in the morning. And I always said I wanted an alarm clock with Julie's voice on it, because it would be so much easier to get up to, "Good morning," instead of beep, 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 beep. And so in my attempt to not sound like your alarm clock, now I have sounded like I was in love with a veterinarian's wife. Luke chapter 2 at the 11th verse says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Now we know here where this took place. And we know who's involved, to all the people, to you. And we know that He is a Savior, Christ the Lord. You might know Him as baby Jesus. You might know Him as Jesus on the cross. You might know Him as Jesus that grandmother spoke about. You might know Him as Jesus. I asked Cameron the other day, I said, "Cameron, what does it mean that Jesus was the Christ?" Cameron used to have a problem with saying Jesus. He would just say God. You say, "Who went to the cross?" He'd say, "God." Say, "Well, wasn't His name Jesus?" Yeah, His name was Jesus, but I just call Him God. So I didn't know what He would say, and I said, I thought I'd finally got him to understand the name Jesus and what it meant, that Jesus was fully man. I said, "Cameron, what does it mean that He was not just Jesus, but He was Jesus the Christ?" And he said, "It means I was right all along. He's God." "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." If you know Him as baby Jesus, you could still be in trouble. If you know Him as Jesus of the cross, you could still be in trouble. If you know Him as Jesus of the empty tomb, you could still be in trouble, unless you know Him as Jesus, the Savior, the Christ. Verse 13, "And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.'" Glory to God in the highest. There is no name above His name. There is no there's no stuff better than the Lord. There is no event that'll take place in your life, no matter how cute your child was, no matter how great your parents are, no matter how wonderful. I remember when they swang open the doors, they swang a word. When they opened the doors, and I stood up at the altar waiting for Jenny to come, and they opened the doors, and she was it was an opening much like this church has, and so the sun was right out front, and on that white dress, when they threw open the doors, you know, there was the sun, and there was the white dress, and it would just about blind you. As beautiful as that was, it doesn't even compare to when Jesus, through the Spirit, entered into my heart. By the way, sometimes when I'm doing a wedding and the doors fly open and I can see how the sun's going to hit that dress, if you see me up here and I'm beating on the groom, you'll know what I'm saying is, watch this, don't miss this. You're going to remember this for the rest of your life. But no matter how beautiful she looks, no matter how great she is, she's not even comparing to the moment when you became a part of God's family, born of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Nothing compares with Jesus. And on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. Because you and I who know Him as high and exalted Savior, we know Him as being a God who brings peace to troubled hearts and to troubled times, to troubled lives. But we need to see Him as the Most High. So many times in my life, and I have spoke to you so many weeks in the past about the time that we live in and the difficulty of these days and how sometimes you and I need to recognize that we need healing, that we need blessing, that we need someone to pick us up. But we also need to see that God is even above all of our needs. He's to be exalted even in the bad times because He's just that great. Even if He didn't bless us, even if He didn't give us great things, even if He didn't send us great gifts, He'd still be great. So we love Him and praise Him and say glory to God in the highest. In Matthew chapter 21 at the 9th verse, Jesus is entering into the city and there are those who are following Him, who are praising Him, who have lost their cool because of how great He is. Verse number 9 says, "And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." I have been studying what the angel said. The angel comes to the shepherd and says, the Most High has been born. Hosanna is shouted at the end of Jesus' public ministry, very near to the cross, in response to the fact that the Most High has come. So I began to study this word, Hosanna. You and I have Hosanna as an English word. We hear it around Easter time. We tell the story of the Holy Week and all that Jesus went through and all that took place. And we talk about the shouting of Hosanna, the highest. Hosanna to the Son of God. The reality of this word is that in the beginning, or what I'll say in the beginning, in the Hebrew language, there was a word, Hashayanah, Hashayanah. And Hashayanah in the Hebrew meant, I need help. It became to mean something like, I need help that only a Savior can bring. Now, Hashayanah was the Hebrew word. Do you know what Hashayanah or Hosanna was in the Greek? Because do you understand about biblical writings that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was said in Aramaic, but was written down in Greek. And so you have what you and I know as Hosanna, Hashayanah, meaning I need a Savior in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament in the Greek, Hashayanah was Hashayanah. What they basically said is, there's no better way to say it, Hashayanah. Except it took on a different meaning. Because in the Greek writings, what had already happened that was different from the Old Testament? Who had come? Jesus had come. And so in the Hebrew, Hashayanah meant, I need a Savior. In the Greek, Hashayanah meant, I need a Savior, and I can see that He has come. It's kind of like this. if you were drowning and you had no really hope that anybody was about to save you, you would cry out, "Help! Help!" There's a story about a man who had a Harley Davidson motorcycle. He was a really good rider. He was well protected. He had the right helmet. He had everything he needed. He was going down the road, and a dog ran across the road in front of him. And no matter how good a rider he was, he began to swerve to try to avoid the dog, and he went into a skid, and he just dropped right off a cliff. And on his way down, just like the Roadrunner or the Coyote, not the Roadrunner, he never got in trouble, but the Coyote, just like the Coyote, he saw a sapling coming up ahead, and he reached out and grabbed it as he went by. And so there he hung on the middle somewhere of this cliff. And he cried out and he said, "Is there anybody out there?" God said in a real regal voice, "Go ahead and turn loose, my son. I have you in the palm of my hand. All you need to do is turn loose." And the man said, "Is there anybody else out there?" A person who maybe is going through great crisis is yelling out, "Help! Help! I need help!" But they really don't see anybody coming. Before Jesus, the people who looked forward to a Messiah were literally saying, "Hashayanah! Hashayanah! I need help!" But imagine if you were going through dreadful things and you could see your Savior approaching. You could see that He had come. He had shown up. You might still be yelling out, "Hashayanah," but you'd not be yelling out, "Help, help, is anybody out there?" You'd be yelling, "Help, help, I see the Savior coming." And I would say to you this morning that we live in tough times. And we have every reason to cry out and say, "Heal me, heal me. God, I need you to heal me." But you and I that are Christian are not without hope. And we recognize that it is not that there is one who is coming, but there is one who has come and is coming again. And so we don't just cry out, "Help me, help me," but we can cry out, "Help me, Lord, because I see that you have come and you're coming again. Hashayanah, Hosanna for me and you is much more powerful than heal me, heal me." I mean, healing is great stuff. But you and I that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who know that the Lord who has come is coming again, we can cry out, "Hosanna," because we know that He's coming back. And we, as we watch the day approaching, well, we can see that He is truly coming again. There's a song that you know that Bill Gaither has written, a great poem. I will read like a poem this morning. The chorus says, "Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, He's coming for me." Bill Gaither says, "The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the King comes through the gate." Because the King is coming. You get that? He says, "Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that He has mended, those from prison He has freed. Little children and the aged hand in hand stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow." Because the King is coming. King is coming. You and I, we can hear the trumpet sounding, literally. And very soon, His face we'll see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God, He's coming for me. Bill doesn't stop there. He continues. Listen to this. He says, "I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grandstands all in place. Heaven's choirs now assembled start to sing." I mean, you know, sometimes we get the impression, "I've won, I've won. My victory has come, the McCamey sing. A great song and very beautiful. And you and I at times in our life need to recognize, I've won, I've won. But we need to recognize that it's by grace that we had the opportunity to finish the race in the first place. But I want you to understand this morning that when He comes, you and I don't need to be filled with, heal me, heal me. We need to be filled with, Hosanna, Hosanna. Because it's not that we are without hope needing help. It's that we see that He is coming, a very present help, as the Bible teaches, in our time of trouble. Hosanna, Hosanna. You and I, as we celebrate Christmas, we see that He has come the first time, and yet He's coming again. Now, who is His? And we all need Him. And if you don't know Him this morning, I want you to understand how much you need Jesus. But I want you to understand this morning how big this is and how big Hosanna needs to be in your life. His coming is not about me. It's about Him. When the Lord shows up in my life and really shows off and really shows me how great He is and how able He is to overcome difficult circumstances and difficult things, and how He can take the greatest mountains of trouble in my life and make them just seem like smooth sailing and easy street. I need to understand that it's not about me and my problems. It's about Him and His glory. It's not about my needs. It's about the fact that He is just so great that I can just get lost. And you know how sometimes your difficulties overwhelm you, and they overwhelm me. But the reality is, when we see Jesus coming, He is so exalted. He is so glorified. It's not about us, but it's about Him. The Bible teaches that Peter and the disciples are out on the water. They don't realize, I don't think, that Jesus is watching. Jesus tells them, cast their nets on the other side. And, you know, we've toiled all night. We've worked so hard. And yet, we're supposed to go on. So they cast their nets on the other side, not expecting much to change. And they almost sank the boat because what they hauled in was so great. Peter comes up on shore and walks over to the Lord and says, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Because even in that moment, still not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, he didn't understand that it's not about me and my sin. It's not about me and my problems. It's about God the Father has sent His Son to live the perfect life, to become the perfect sacrifice, to die on the cross, so that He might be glorified, worthy of praise, and by His grace, then you and I might be saved. And there is none that compares to Him, not even my long list of agonies, not even the difficulties that you experience. And so life is not about, heal me, heal me. It's about Hosanna. Because He really is highest. And no matter what you face, when you sing a Christmas carol, when you see a nativity scene, when you think about His first coming and you think about His second coming, realize that if the name of Jesus is above all names, what about, and I'm not speaking of anything specific or anybody, but what about cancer? I mean, is cancer the name greater than the name Jesus? Is financial woes and professional woes and business difficulties and family experiences, even though they're so important, or if Jesus is every name, you know, if there's no name above that name, Jesus the Christ, then all those things that I've rattled off, He's above too. And each time we see a nativity scene, each time we sing a carol, each time we see the stars that light up the trees or the doorways or the arches, Los Portales, they tell me, means arch in Spanish. And each time you and I drive by that Los Portales on somebody's home, and it's got those lights on it, we have the opportunity to stop and thank Christmas and realize Hosanna in the highest. His name is above every name. He is what the angels called to the shepherds, the Most High, and you have the opportunity to know Him. But even those of us who do know Him have the opportunity to realize no matter what we face, He's greater. And so life's not about heal me, it's about Hosanna. Lord, You're above all, and I want to live to reflect that You are above all. You choose this morning how You'll serve. You pray with me. Father, we're thankful that You bless us. We ask that You'd guide us to know that You are truly coming. Lord, we can see that the tree is ripening, and whether it be in our lifetime or those to come, we know that You are a great God who's to be exalted for just how great You are. And Lord, it's not just that we need You, it's that we long for You. Lord, we don't just long for You because life's tough. We long for You because there's really life to come, and we look forward to it because You're in there and You're part of it. So I pray this morning that You'd bless us. I pray that You would speak to this group who's gathered. You would bless us to know how to respond. And You'd bless us as we go through the rest of this season, what it'll mean. In Jesus' name we pray.